We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 25, which is entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, text number 52. Asuri nama paschadvas, tayayati Puranjana. Kramakam nama vishayam durmadena samanvita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. On the western side was a gate named Asuri. Through that gate, King Puranjana used to go to the city of Gramaka, accompanied by his friend Durmada. Please repeat. On the western side was a gate named Asuri. Through that gate, King Puranjana used to go to the city of Gramaka, accompanied by his friend Durmada. Purport. The gate on the western side of the city was known as Asuri because it was especially meant for the Asuras. The word Asura refers to those who are interested in sense gratification, specifically in sex life, to which they are overly attracted. Thus Puranjana, the living entity, enjoys himself to his greatest satisfaction by means of the genitals. Consequently, he used to go to the place known as Gramaka. Material sense gratification is also called gramya, and the place where sex life is indulged in to a great extent is called gramaka. When going to gramaka, Puranjana used to be accompanied by his friend Durmada. The word vishaya refers to the four bodily necessities of life: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The word durmadena may be analyzed in this way. Dur means dusta, or sinful, and mada means madness. Every living entity who is in contact with material nature is called mada, or mad. It is said, This is from the Prema Vivarta. Pishachi paileyena mati chana haya maya grasta jivera haya se bhava udaya. When a person is haunted, he becomes practically insane. When one is in an insane condition, he speaks all kinds of nonsense. Thus, to become engaged in sense gratification, one has to accept a friend who is durmada, or badly affected by the material disease. The words Asuri nam paschadva are significant in another sense. The sunrise is first visible from the eastern side, the Bay of Bengal, and gradually it progresses towards the west. It is practically experienced that people in the west are more addicted to sense gratification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has certified Paschimera Loka Sabha Muda Anachara from Adilila. The more one goes to the western side, the more he will find people disinterested in spiritual life. He will find them behaving against the Vedic standards. Because of this, people living in the West are more addicted to sense gratification. In this Bhagavatam, it is confirmed, Asuri Nam Paschadva. In other words, the population on the western side is interested in an Asuric civilization, that is, a materialistic way of life. Lord Caitanya consequently wanted this Krishna consciousness movement to be preached on the western side of the world, so that people addicted to sense gratification might be benefited by his teachings. Om Agyanti Miranda Shagana Shalakya Shakshura Nitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishmadaya Krishna Vistam Talesi Mate Satsvarup Daska Swami Tanami Namam Vishmadaya Krishna Vistam Talesi Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanami Namaste Sarasvata Devi Horavani Pacharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Pashyatya Disatari. So here we are in the pastime where King Prachina Barisat, who had already 10,000 sons who were inspired by Lord Shiva to do meditation for length of time of 10,000 years. And the father king, Prachina Barisat, he was performing different kinds of fruitive activities. And Narada Muni wanted to be merciful to him. And for that reason, he approached him. He said, "What are you doing with your life? With all this material and sinful life, killing animals, unnecessary, and etc." King Prachina Barisat was quite powerful, but he used his energy in a materialistic way. And Narada Muni was pointing out, "Do you know that this, you know, the animals there in the sky are waiting for the moment that you leave your body, and then they will pierce you with steel pins. They will pierce your body after you leave your present body, and that is what is waiting you. And what are you aiming for? What type of enjoyment you want to have?" And then King Prachina Barisat, he was a little humble, and he said, "Actually, I don't know what is the goal of life. Please instruct me. Which are the right words to say to a saintly person?" So then Narada Muni, he was inspired to instruct King Prachina Barisat, and then he started to say that he wanted to narrate a story which Prabhupada explains is actually the story of the life of King Prachina Barisat, but he called it the story. Narada Muni called it the story of King Puranjana. And Puranjana, the meaning of the word Puranjana is one who enjoys in this body. So then he started to narrate this story to King Prachina Barisat, and he told him that King Puranjana, he was just, he had a lot of leisure time, and he was looking for happiness He was traveling all over the place, and then traveling all over the place, he came to the south of the Himalayas, which means India, Bharatvarsha, and there he came into a city with nine gates. And the allegory of the city of the nine gates was the allegory of the body with the nine, was the comparison of the body with the nine gates. And there he met a beautiful girl with lots of servants, and they fell in love, and they enjoyed for 100 years, and then they, you know, then he is, Narada Muni was explaining further the different gates of the city, different gates of the body, and he said on the eastern side there are five gates, the eyes, the two nostrils and the mouth, and then on the northern side is the left ear, and on the south side is the right ear. Left ear is for hearing spiritual knowledge, and the right ear is for hearing fruitive knowledge or sense gratification. And then on the western side there are also two gates, because the city is like flat, it's like the body is lying flat, and it's like when you lie on your bed and you read and you lie flat and your face is towards the east, so then this fits with the position of the city, and also fits with the position as described here. So then the western side are the genitals and the rectum. So today we are discussing about the western gate, the genitals, which are described here, that in the material world they are in generally used for sense gratification. In relation to the nine gates, if we think for a moment when we take when our life starts in the womb, when the egg and the sperma comes together, and then by Krishna's mystical power, the soul enters in that in the womb of the mother, then at that moment we as spirit soul are present there, but we are present in a very small, the womb is already small, and we are even smaller, so then we gradually grow. And gradually these nine gates are, the body is developing and the nine gates are developing, but we are there basically imprisoned. Of course we have Krishna right next to us, and apparently we seem to have some more realization even of the presence of Krishna, because as we grow, you know, we in the beginning there is some place still, but as we grow the pressure in the womb is increasing, and it is also described in the Bhagavatam that the worms are biting our body. So not only are we imprisoned in in a small place, but also, you know, we can't do much. I mean, we are just there. And at that time, especially when the child grows bigger, he is praying to the Lord that please relieve me from this place here, and I promise you to the Lord that I will serve you. And then, of course, there is the time of birth, which is another traumatic experience, by which it says that even if we remember some lives before, previous lives within the womb, due to this traumatic experience, we also lose that memory, and we also forget our promise to the Lord that we were going to serve Him for this lifetime. The Lord did relieve us, but we forget we didn't sign a contract yet, so we forget what we promised. And then, when we are born, it's then even still, you know, the gate of the eyesight is not developed. The baby cannot see practically nothing in the beginning. It takes 2, 3, 4 months before it can really see. It takes up to the 6th year before the eyes are fully in their full potential. It takes 2 years or sometimes more before it can control the passing of urine and stool. It takes years before it can properly talk. So these gates, the hearing, of course, is a little special in the sense that it is it's there very, very fast. Apparently, already in the womb, the child can hear, and one can hear up to the last moment of death. So the hearing, in that sense, is a more developed sense. But in general, the gates are because that's our outlet. Because otherwise, it's just like when you close your eyes, you know, and you're there in the womb, and you don't even know how you look. You don't even know that your limbs and your legs, and I mean, there is very little consciousness. We are not conscious. Huh? Sometimes we say before becoming Krishna conscious, we have to become conscious. So we are not even conscious so well of our body. That's how much we are in that particular situation. That's how much we are in ignorance. We are covered over. So we are deeply, you know, we are there, but there is not much we can do. And then we start to babble our first words, words like Prabhupada and Krishna, for the devotees it's nice, at least they can say these words. And then gradually, so it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy before even these gates start to properly function. And then the gate of today, the genitals, it takes even up to the time of puberty before, you know, even children 12-13 years, they are bewildered about what is happening with their body, and they see changes happening, and they see, you know, and they see, you know, have feelings of attraction, and so even at that age, it takes that long before one becomes. And even then we have to learn how to deal with these new energies and with these new things. So then again we are, you know, basically it takes until we are grown up, and then still we are, you know, we are struggling with these gates, as it is explained here, that this the gate of today is a tough one, because in the material world, you know, even the doctors, even the psychologues, even the psychiaters, they say, oh, don't reduce this, just you know, yes, enjoy it, and yes, masturbation is very healthy, go for it, and if you feel like, you know, doing it every day, then yeah, you should do it every day. It's up to you. You can do it as much as you like. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel guilty that you do it. These are the doctors and the psychiaters of today, you know, and they write it. You can find it everywhere in internet. You can find it everywhere in the schools. Sexual education is given. There is no education of spiritual life or real spiritual life. Something is left from Christianism there, something really very shallow, but sex education is there, how to make sure that you don't become pregnant when you have sex. There's no question of speaking about controlling the senses and how good it is for your personal development, for your determination, for your for becoming God conscious or Krishna conscious. There is no talk about all these things, just about, you know, practical things, how to do it and how to get most out of it, how to get there are sex specialists, there is they can give advice how to get the most pleasure out of sexual intercourse, and there is the Kama Sutra, you know, where you can learn how to, and all these things are available, but they are misused, as we know from the teachings of Sir Prabhupada. Sex can, our body, we are not this body, our body doesn't even belong to us. We are just, you know, just like when you rent a house, you know, you cannot start transforming the house. It's not yours. You have to ask permission to the owner. So in our case also, the body is not ours, so whatever we want to do with this body, we should hear from the proprietor how he wants us to use this body. And he wants us to use this body in his service. And this is the only way anyway to become happy, because that's our constitutional position is to be a servant of the Lord. So whatever we do else there, whatever we try to do else, we will always fail, and we will always become miserable. And that's why the people are indeed so much miserable. That's why so many people make an end to their life, and so many people, you know, bang their head, and so much karma is there, because they legalize abortus, so people can. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So people can can have as much sex as they want, and then of course then if they forget to take the pill or something or some other preservatives, then the lady becomes pregnant, and then no problem. They just go to the doctor established by the government, and the baby gets ripped out of the situation. You know, a living entity gets killed within the womb. And of course, these are all, you know, this builds up all heavy karma, and for that karma, that's a universal law. There are reactions. So not always easy to understand these reactions, why reactions are in one place, why in Haiti are there now 100,000 people killed by earthquake, why there, why not everywhere. But anyway, it seems that many places, many things are happening, wars are there, natural disasters are there, so karma has to unload itself. It builds up, and at some point it has to unload itself, and everybody ultimately will get what he deserves in this regard. Sri Prabhupada also is explaining that the meaning of that sentence, Asurinam, sounds a little bit like Surinam. Asurinam Pashyadva, is also to be understood in another way, that in the sun comes up in the east, and the more you go to the west, the Prabhupada explains, the more sense gratification there is practiced. So, I mean, we see that in the practical sense, that although India is also changing, unfortunately, towards the sense gratification side, still there is a big difference between, you know, India today. There's much more difference between India 50 years ago, but still there is a big difference between India today and between the West, between America, Europe, where sense gratification is much more deeply infiltrated in society. In India it's there, but it's, you can see it's the culture, there is still a very deep culture, especially with little higher class of people. But in the West it's deeply rooted, included in the high class people, this sense gratification. And a little further, Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentioned himself that he wanted this mission to be spread to the Western countries. And that's why also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he asked Prabhupada to go to the West, to go to the United States or to London, to go to these places to preach Krishna consciousness in the most fallen places. And Krishna consciousness is so powerful that the most fallen people, their life can be turned around, as we can see, and we are personal examples of of being affected by Krishna consciousness and being turned around from meditation on sense gratification towards meditation on serving Krishna. So this is a most wonderful thing that took place and that takes place in our personal lives and in the life of other people. So I will stop here. Maybe some comments, some
questions? Yes, please. Yeah, I heard that question before. It was not to me at that time, but I have heard that question before. In the modern world, they even say it's the most purest substance. I don't know. Srila Prabhupada speaks about worms and urine and blood and so I don't know, but it's definitely an uncomfortable position. That's not difficult to imagine. The belly is already tight, especially when the baby is big. And there is practically no movement, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say because your gate of speaking doesn't work. Your gates of seeing don't work, and even if you would see, there is a wall in front of your face. So there is not much to see, and there is no smelling. Is not functioning, and
it's dark.
It's definitely a tough prison. If they would put us later, being adults in such a prison, we would go crazy. So some or other we survive it, but if now they would put us in such a bag or something, for a few months, even if they give us some tube for feeding, we wouldn't survive it. It's we would go crazy. So some or other, by Krishna's arrangements, we survive it. And no wonder we are praying to the Lord to get out of there. And it's just a pity that we forget our promise. That's a pity. Yes, Mukherjee. Yeah, I think both are the whole experience of the womb is traumatic, but it's especially traumatic because the head gets even somewhat deformed. Sometimes they put a thing up to pull it out. So that's extra traumatic. But the whole experience of the womb is a traumatic experience in that sense. So. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that either. Yeah, it's a merciless, totally, it's a murder, it's a totally merciless act, and it's authorized. I mean, in Belgium, the king was against it because he had a Christian. I mean, he was a good Christian, so to say. And but then the government put him for one day. He was not a king, and they put him out of position for one day. On that day, they voted the law for abortion, and then they put him back in place. That's how, because the king, no, you cannot pass a law without acceptance of the king. So they put him king off for one day, they voted the law, and then next day he was king again. That's how they made it here. Yes, yes. Yes, yeah, because he couldn't, it was against his convictions. Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, unfortunately, the people wanted, the mass of people wanted, but, you know, as they say, two wrongs don't make a right. So even if there are many people who want it, it's not right. It remains wrong from the spiritual point of view. From the democratic point of view, the, you know, big numbers, they win. But from a spiritual point of view, you know, it's totally wrong. This means crazy society. Yeah, I understand the all types of things, the contracts they make, but you know the essence is that it is murder. You know, it is a living entity which is killed in the womb, and there is a heavy reaction because it's an innocent living entity which cannot even defend itself. And it's at the core of the womb, it's just slaughtered. And there are heavy reactions for that, you know, same as slaughtering calves and cows. You know, so there are heavy reactions, and the world will have to suffer these reactions, even if there is a lot of ignorance involved. Many people don't even think, but that's also their problem, that they don't even think and just do things without thinking. Even, you know, when even if it's by law it's allowed, we are supposed to, you know, the law of God is superior than the law of the country. Yeah, because it's unnatural, and you know, even beforehand they may think everything is going to be all right. It has a, you know, an effect on their psyche, on their it has an after effect, and it has an effect on the soul, and it makes, you know, it makes us, our possibility to connect with Krishna, it makes it more difficult. Fortunately not impossible, but more difficult, more heavy reactions one may have to undergo first before one can become eligible to advance spiritually. My understanding is that it is a question of moments after the conception. I mean, moments can probably be seconds. I mean, my understanding is that by Krishna's mystical power, as soon as the sperma and the egg have the right connection, I mean, really connect to each other, then the spirit soul enters. Yeah, I mean the egg and the sperm have to connect, and then there is, I mean, sexual intercourse is something else, but the real moment that a living entity's life starts is when the sperma and the egg connect. Well, it fulfills the desire of the living entity, and that's exactly where the Lord doesn't want to interfere. If you really want something bad, Krishna will facilitate you, because that's your desire, and he wants you to come to him based on your own decision, on your own plan, your own desire to come to him. He doesn't want to because he uses small tricks. Small tricks are there, but in reality, if you really don't want to serve Krishna, Krishna will give you plenty opportunity and ability to not serve him. Because everything comes from him. Also, the ability to not serve him comes from him, but it's because of your desire or our desire. It's our desire when we want material sense gratification. This is our desire. This is not the Lord's desire. The Lord's desire is that we serve him, and then we will get real pleasure and real reciprocation. But if we want to enjoy independent from him, which most people in this material world want, then he gives us the opportunity to do so. Because he doesn't want, it's not love. He wants a loving relationship with his devotees. And when you are forced, it's not love. He wants the decision to be with a living entity to serve him. And he doesn't want a living entity to oblige. So it's not, in that sense, it's not a trick. It's just, Krishna is just giving us what we are longing for, what we want, what we desire. That he is giving. He is not tricking us. He is not like putting us in a trick in that sense. He is just, he does not want to interfere with our free will. That's the point. So I'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Aur Premanand.